Let's open our Bibles, please. The Gospel of Matthew, first of all, chapter 9. We'll read at verse 20. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. That's better. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. John 13, please. Verse number 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you. And a final reading in John 19. Verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Trust that God will bless to us these portions of scripture. We have read together the three main portions in the New Testament that speak of the garments of the Lord Jesus. They are referred to in other places, I know that. But these are the three main places you read of the garments of the Lord Jesus. I just for a few minutes want to remind our souls that there's something about the garments of the Lord Jesus, for God saw fit to put them in the Old Testament scriptures, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So it wasn't just an afterthought, I'll do something about his clothes. There was something about his garments that spoke of his very character, that God inscribes in the scriptures. So I want to think of that for a few moments. We're going to start in John 19. I want to speak about his coat. Sorry to be speaking behind some of your backs, but I'll speak honestly at least. I want to speak of the coat. We read of the coat was woven from the top. There's something lovely about that little expression, from the top throughout. So different from us. I don't know how it was done. A coat without seam, started at the top and woven from the top to the bottom. The Lord Jesus could say of himself, I am from above. Ye are from beneath, but I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. And the one who came into our world never ceased to be what he was, but became something he never was. He became the Son of Man, the Son of God, eternally a man, from above, without seam. Several things could be said about a life without seam, a seamless, spotless life, no interruptions, no ups and downs, one steady, spotless, sinless, holy life throughout. No terrible twos, no troubled, turbulent teenage years. Must have been amazing to watch him in the home. Those silent years that we know very little about must have been, well, it says of Mary, she kept these things in her heart. The seamless life of the Lord Jesus. But there's something else about that seamless life. It can't be altered. A garment without seams? No alterations. None needed. None can be done. For instance, you can't. But if you could, those of us that are a little older now, that have lived most of our lives, if you could live it over, you'd do it differently. Because you've learned along the way. And there would be alterations. Can you imagine a life that if it was to be lived over again, would be exactly the same? Every step he ever took was in the will of his Father. Every word that ever proceeded out of his mouth would be the exact words he would say again. Every deed that his hands ever did would be the exact same deeds he would do again. And he wouldn't do them better. He could not do them better. Without seam. What a life. Woven throughout. How many of us have made the mistake? I've done it. I can't help it. It's the way we think. He walked on water as the Son of God, but he sat on the well as a man. No. Wearied with his journey? No. We like to separate humanity from deity. But the scripture says woven throughout. Every warp and woof of his character was deity. And every warp and woof of his character was humanity. The perfect blending of God and man throughout. From the infant in Mary's arms to the dying cry at Calvary. God manifest in the flesh. What a life. What a garment. In chapter 13 of John, we just read, he laid aside his garment. What a lovely statement. You remember that he's the one that said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And while his disciples did not know what he was doing, that's proof in the last verse I read in that chapter where he said, know ye what I have done unto you? He knew right well they didn't know. Oh, yes, he washed their feet, but that's not what he's talking about. There was more to it than that. He laid aside that garment and took up the slave's towel and began to wash their feet. No one could ever say that garment was stained with sin. No one could ever point a finger and say, there's sin. No, no. Absolutely spotless. Laid it aside. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Silence. Silence. Not even an angel speaks. There's silence. Unstained by sin. Never would be a question. Never could it enter into the mind of a man to say this. Oh, they knew what they had to do to condemn him. I don't know how they did this. It baffles me. But how do you put out a notice for false witnesses? Would the biggest liars please come forth? That's what they did. They didn't seek witnesses. They sought false witnesses. Because they knew that's all they could get. If they sought true witnesses, they would hear this. This man hath done nothing amiss. Never man spake like this man. We have wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The whole garment, laid aside of his own will. Disciples shook their heads in wonder. Peter could say, "Be it far from thee, Lord." At least on three occasions, he told them he was going to lay down his life, and it never registered. Now, sisters, this is where you have it over the brethren. I think it registered with some of the women. Because the Lord Jesus wouldn't have said, "She has anointed my body against the day of burial," if it wasn't the truth. She knew what she was doing. But the disciples sitting there said, "What a waste." They didn't understand it. That he would lay down his life. No man would take it from me. And then he puts this that often we overlook. Therefore doth my Father love me. Because I lay down my life. There was something between the Father and the Son. Therefore doth my Father love me. It was different than Abraham and Isaac going to the altar. As close as that is, it was still different. Because Abraham was told, "Take now thy son." But this is the Son who said, "I lay down my life of myself." And he took up the slave's towel. What a thing. For his disciples, he took it up and he washed their feet. Oh, they knew what he was doing there. That's why Peter said, "No, Lord, never wash my feet." They knew the lowly place that he took. They saw him kneel in front of them one by one. They watched the grace and humility. They saw him stoop and bend at their feet. And it spoke to their hearts. What a thing. But then it says he took his garments again. Took his garments again. Just a little reminder that the one who laid down his life took it again. The Father raised him, the Spirit raised him, but he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it. I'll raise it again." And by his own power, he took his garments again. Thank God he did. Lastly, this woman. She's quite a woman, you know. It had never been said. It had never been done. Where did she get this? "If I can but touch his garments." Where did that come from? Well, the Lord tells us, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." She believed this man to be the Christ, the Messiah, the one who has come with healing in his wings. She believed it. And she said, if I can just touch the wings, if I can just touch the garments, there's healing. Thy faith hath made thee whole. But let's look at the garment, the hem. She didn't touch the garment. She actually touched the hem of his garment. I was thinking about you sisters, because men don't really think about this, but you would never walk up to another sister and say, what a beautiful garment you got. But the hem is down. If you saw that the hem was down, you wouldn't comment on the embroidery work or the lovely texture of the fabric or the quality of the garment. You'd whisper in a sister's ear and say, your hem is down. Right? Because if there's something wrong with the hem, you automatically disregard the whole garment. And all the quality of the garment kind of fades in the background if there's something wrong with the hem. And yet, you would never walk up to a sister and say, the hem's okay. Oh, what a lovely garment. It's almost like it's part of it. It needs to be there. It needs to be done. It's expected to be done. And because it's done, you can admire the garment. But you can't wear it without the hem. So the hem makes it wearable. And because of it, we can now approach the Lord Jesus. We can see him. We can watch that life. We can even look at the death. Up until this time, others had been crucified. And yet nobody wore a cross from their ears, nor dangled one around their neck. Or in our day, put it on their dashboard. Nobody would even think of the cross as a symbol of victory or glory. But Paul could say, I glory in the cross of Christ. Something changed with this man. It makes it wearable. Secondly, it makes it very presentable. Can you imagine presenting a garment with the hem all hanging down? I only ever knew one runway girl that modeled for one of the big names, and she actually walked the runway. Well, it was a good friend of mine's daughter, and you probably know my friend, but his daughter for a little while walked the runway. You don't walk the runway with the hem down. They modeled those garments finished, complete, and they presented them to the buyers in all their beauty and all their glory. There's something presentable about Christ. We're not just telling people about the glories of his person who came from heaven. We don't just tell people he showed us a way to live. Religion does that. He's the great example for humanity. So he is. But there's something that makes Christ presentable. And that's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins. The hem is the finished work. And we can present him without being ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, Paul said, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What was he talking about? The finished work. The last thing done to the garment. Now, it's not just the finished work. It's not just that he died on a cross. And it's not just the cross. It's the man of the cross. It's the Christ of Calvary. It's who died on that cross. So you've got the whole garment and it's finished work. And I look at this table this morning and I think about that garment, and it's the hem of that garment that makes it memorable. What are we doing here today? Yes, we're remembering the Lord Jesus. We do remember his birth. We remember the perfect life, the seamless, spotless life. We have remembered this morning, in the words of our brethren, his gracious words, his works among the sons of men. We have remembered how he walked, how he talked. But ultimately, we've come to a body that was broken and blood that was shed. And we remember him and his death for us at Calvary, the hem of his garment. It's not by accident that she said, "If I may but touch his garment," that the only place she really could touch was the hem of his garment. God saw to that. The crowd was there. She couldn't touch his garment. If she's going to touch his garment, she's got to touch the hem of his garment. Makes him touchable. We would have no approach to God. We could never touch. We could never connect. Our sin would have separated us from God forever. People talk about the tabernacle and God dwelling among his people. So true, so true. But everything in that tabernacle, to my mind, screams, "Keep out! Keep out!" From the outer court fence to the veil to the door, they could not approach. Keep out! There was no touching. They couldn't come beyond the altar. That was it. Only certain priests. And only certain times. And then they had to do it very carefully. But every one of us, every single one, has reached out and touched the hem of the garment. You couldn't get any closer. You have been made one with Christ. You are now part of the bride of Christ. It is that finished work that has brought us nigh. Thank God for these garments. They just bring to our minds the loveliness of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus.